WSDQ Dunlap, WEPG South Pittsburgh, The Copperhead, WSDT Soddy Daisy, Chattanooga.
The viewpoints expressed on Liberty Works Radio Network are not necessarily those of the network, its affiliates, or sponsors. This is Liberty Works Radio Network. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Hempling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. On this program, I like to expose the truth about the subjects that affect American liberty, your liberty. For those that know me, know that one of my pet peeves is the income tax. It is destroying Americans' desire to be successful or even work in some cases. My goal is to eliminate the income tax for everyone. The federal government can get along fine without the income tax if they would only follow the law. When I talk about the law, I mean the U.S. Constitution. The federal government has really 17 powers listed in the Constitution. Everything else, for the most part, is prohibited by law. Prohibited and reserved to the states, the 50 states, or reserved to the people, you and I. And the federal government really is at the bottom of the rung. Now, if the law were followed, we would not even probably need 10% of our current budget. Now, imagine that. Now, you can get a lot of information on the income tax at freeenterprisesociety.com. That's freeenterprisesociety.com. Now, also on there, we also deal with the Truth Attack Coalition. We're a member of that. And on the Truth Attack, truth-attack.com, you can find a lot more information about the income tax. There is a documentary there called Innocence Revealed. It has five attorneys and a former IRS criminal investigating agent who shows and talks about and provides evidence that the average American, and that probably includes you listening and me, that we're not even required to file income tax return and never was. And if you file in returns and are stressed out about the IRS at any time, I can tell you it's probably owe it to yourself to at least go and watch that video. It doesn't cost you anything. It's up there for free at this moment. And so truth-attack.com. I think you'll be very impressed with that and some of the other information on there. Now, we're going to talk about something about rights and sovereignty, and we have a special guest on here today. He's Bill McPike. He's an attorney. He's been a big a big defender of rights when it came to marijuana here in California. And he's also, you know, working talking about and doing research on the Indian reservations. Out in California, and I don't know where you live, but where we live, there's lots of Indian reservations around here. They have some casinos, and they have this and that going on, and people get confused about what kind of jurisdiction it is. Some reservations try to issue driver's licenses, stuff like this. Sometimes a sheriff has come in to a casino near where I'm at, and that caused some problems, and I don't know if they have the authority to do that. And anyway, Bill, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. Well, welcome to the program. And we wanted to talk a little bit about Indians, the sovereignty on the Indian reservations and how that works. And so maybe you can get that started.
Okay, this goes way back before Christopher Columbus. Anyway, the Indians owned all the land over here, and so Spaniards were very aggressive on having the Indians work for them and basically slave labor and get them die for oysters and stuff, and most of them drowned. Anyway, and then in the late 1700s, they built, I think it was 22, 23 missions along the coast of California, and they inducted the Indians as slave labor for that. And the Catholic Church was involved with the Spaniards and trying to teach them that religion. Yeah, because basically it'd been about spirits and stuff like that. Anyway, moving on, we had, there were the French-Indian Wars. In France and Britain were on the Atlantic coast and some part of the interior. And the British enlisted Indians, you know, to help them in the war. And the Revolutionary War came along, and the colonists were not interested in the Indians, and the British were. And they enlisted them in the war. And so after the Revolutionary War, the Treaty of Paris in 1783, they, the United States didn't treat the Indians very fairly, but in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 3, talks about the Indian Commerce Clause. Yeah, that's the root of the genesis of everything. Yeah, so Indians could be involved in commerce on or off reservations, and as long as it was tribal business. Individual Indians basically had the same rights as anybody else once they stepped off the reservation land. There were treaties and everything affecting different tribes. There's 570 approximately tribes recognized by Congress. There's about 110 of them in California. So anyway, Congress is the trustee over the Indian tribal land and everything that the tribes do. Yeah, and that's where their sovereignty comes from. And so unless Congress is given authority to states or other agencies and governments, they have no authority over tribes, but they can have authority over the individual Indians once they step off the reservation.
Now, how many tribes did you say were in California?
About 110.
Okay.
Yeah, those are established, I believe, by President Teddy Roosevelt in about 1906, and they called them rancherias. Because the settlers had come in and pushed the Indians off their land and taken over and were shooting Indians and everything else, and it was a mess. So finally, presidential executive order set aside the land and moved the property owners off certain lands.
Well, you talked about treaties. So each reservation has a treaty with the United States or with California? How does that work?
Well, it would be with the United States and with Congress, basically, because the tribes are considered domestic sovereign nations. So they're on a government-to-government status between the recognized tribes and Congress. As far as the states go, they have what they call compacts. And if Congress allows it, then the tribes can enter into compacts with the states, such as gambling.
Well, I haven't been to the, you know, I go to reservations sometimes for restaurants and stuff they have out there, but I don't know much about them. I know that, you know, you see programs on television where the sheriff can't go in there and they don't investigate crimes on the reservation. And that would depend on how the treaty is written, or are they all the same treaty?
Well, California back in the 1800s had 18 treaties, but they were either never signed by California or they were never enacted. They were basically buried. So there's no California tribes that I'm aware of that have a treaty.
Oh.
Now, there was a case, I think it was in Montana, when an Indian went off the reservation, walked across the magic line and went into the national forest and went hunting. And he was convicted in U.S. court, and there was an appeal. And he won the appeal because they found a treaty back in 1868 or whatever, where they never gave up the hunting rights to that land. So So there's tribes that have treaties and tribes that don't have treaties.
No, the 110 tribes in California do not have a treaty.
According to my research, they don't.
Because I know there's a casino here near me. I don't necessarily want to name the name, but they had an altercation between factions of the tribe, and the sheriff department came out and closed the casino for quite some time. And until the tribe
went to it. Back in, I think, 1953, Congress put forth what they call Public Law 280. Public Law 280, basically, the United States was trying to save money and turn everything over to the states. And there were six states that agreed to take over the policing from the federal government on the tribes. California was one of them. And now it's kind of murky waters, because there are certain things the state can do on the tribe and certain things they can't do. But with these casinos, they sign a compact, you know, to collect sales tax, to give a certain amount of their net winnings to the state of California. Like the Morongo tribe signed a compact about 8 years ago. It agreed to give $37 million out of the net winnings to the state of California if the state of California would allow them to install another 3,500 slot machines. So once they sign a compact with the state, you know, they can get liquor licenses and stuff like that, but they're giving up a certain amount of their sovereignty over to the state once they sign a compact. I've heard that said about taxes. Once you sign a tax return, you're signing under penalty of perjury that you're a taxpayer.
Well, I think there's, you know, at least for that year that you're talking about, I mean, when you sign something, you're agreeing to, you know, to their terms. I would agree with that. Now, on the taxes, it's year to year. If I don't sign it next year, I, you know, there is nothing. But on these, it sounds like they're just making up stuff as they go along. If there's no treaty, I mean, what are the rules? They just negotiate each little thing, and then as they go along, and then when things happen, they just change the rules again. Huh?
That's about the way it is. The tribe I represent in Southern California, and they're not downtown L.A., they're up in the mountains, remote mountains, and they've never signed anything with the state of California. They don't have a casino, nothing. And so they've never given up any part of their sovereignty, and they stand on their sovereignty to be free of California laws.
And that comes from the Constitution itself, is what you're saying. If there's no treaty in place, even.
Yeah, it comes from the Constitution, the Commerce Clause, Indian Commerce Clause. It comes from court decisions. You know, there's a bunch of United States Supreme Court decisions upholding the Indian sovereignty. So which you have an Indian government tribe, a recognized tribe, and then you have the government of the state of California and counties and stuff like that. It's just kind of a tug of war as to who does what. And you're talking about the marijuana laws. Good. So this tribe has a cannabis store. Yeah, so that's the issue. The state of California set up the Bureau of Cannabis Control. It was majority vote by the electorate.
Okay, got to interrupt you there, Bill. We got some music coming up. We got a break, hard break coming up. So hang on to that thought. You're listening to the Truth Attack Hour on Liberty Works Radio Network. We're talking with Bill McPike. He's an attorney and supporter of the Constitution. We're talking about Indian reservations and how that affects the states. And
is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
And now for the Institute on the Constitution, here's Michael Anthony Perutka with The American View.
Many Americans are angry about the health care takeover that Obama has tried to ram down their throats. This is not surprising. Many claim that the Obama scheme is a disaster and a very bad idea for America's future. We agree that it is a bad plan and an unconstitutional plan. But these are not the same thing. To say that something is a bad idea and to say it is unconstitutional is to say two different things. Let me explain. Suppose you invite me over to your house for dinner, and while I'm there, I notice that your window treatments are a bit shabby and that your furniture does not match your wall colors. So the next day, while you're not at home, I break into your house and change the windows and the walls. For the sake of argument, let's say I actually make it look better than it did before I broke in. I'm still guilty of the crime of breaking and entering in trespass. Do you see that even if it was a good idea to change the decor, it was a crime because it was outside of my authority to do it? Now, Rush Limbaugh and Mark Levin are screaming that the government takeover of the healthcare system is a very bad idea, and they are right. But even if it was a good idea, it would be a criminal scheme all the same. The Constitution does not grant the federal government any authority to meddle in our healthcare. The operative clauses to look at here are Article 1, Section 8, and the 10th Amendment. It will only take you about 6 minutes to read and understand that Obamacare is more than just a bad idea for American healthcare. It is a dangerous and tyrannical trespass into American homes and lives. This is Michael Anthony Perutka for Institute on the Constitution, bringing you The American View.
This is Rob McQuay for the Institute on the Constitution, and you've just finished hearing Michael Anthony Perutka's commentary on The American View. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this radio station, and we welcome any comments and suggestions you may care to offer by emailing us at michael@theamericanview.com. If you'd like to learn more about the Institute on the Constitution's work, you can find out more about who we are and what we do at theamericanview.com.
This is D.V. Kidd from newswithviews.com. My new book, Taking Politics Out of Solutions, is now available. Why is it nothing changes no matter who you vote for? My book covers the most critical issues eating this country alive, as well as the solutions that are already there that Congress and the agenda-driven media don't want you to know. From the disaster of our economy, why we will never have any economic freedom until the Fed is abolished, trade, the meltdown underway called Obamacare, the truth about Social Security and Medicare, and the fraudulent ratification of the 17th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, a very big issue that affects every American. The answers and solutions are in my book that all Americans need to read, because the worst is coming at us like a freight train. To order, please call 1-800-955-0116.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Overcome. Pass it on.
When Marlon Shirley was 5 years old, he was in an accident and lost his foot, but he didn't lose his heart.
When you tackle a challenge that you just cannot even fathom tackling, when you accomplish that, the amount of integrity and the will and the heart that you'll get from that experience is what will set you up for your life.
In less time than it took Marlon Shirley to say that, he can now run 100 meters, because today he's the world's fastest amputee. Overcome. Pass it on.
America.
Born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Hempling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. Truth Attack Hour is aired every day from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time on Liberty Works Radio Network. I want to just note how great Liberty Works Radio Network is. I think this network and networks like it will be the new mainstream media. I think there's more and more people tuning into these types of networks and tuning out of what is considered the mainstream media, because they are showing more and more inconsistencies, lies, and many of them have just become, you know, just a one-sided, like CNN and MSNBC seem to work for the Democrats and some of their loony ideas, and I just don't get it. I mean, how can anybody consider that news when you get only one side? But anyway, if you like this program or others, you can help support it. It is a listener-supported network, and that is LWRN.net. You can leave a donation there. Sometimes I think you can set up a multiple or automatic donation of some sort. If not, you might at least leave a one-time donation. All right. You may want to write this number down. It is a call-in number, 410-848-9191. That's 410-848-9191. You're welcome to call in with questions or comments from my guests. We're back with Bill McPike. He's an attorney. He's helped a lot of people with cannabis issues in the past. He's done quite a bit of research on Indian reservations and dealing a little bit with that and their authority. And so we're back with my guest, Bill McPike. And before break, you were talking about some things, but I looked this up on the Constitution during break. And Article 1 says persons talking about taxes, including those bound to service the terms of years and excluding Indians not taxed. That's Article 1. You mentioned the Commerce Clause earlier, Bill. And so I'm going to read that real quick. To regulate commerce with foreign nations, this is what the federal government's under the Constitution is required, to regulate commerce with foreign nations, comma, and among several states, comma, and with the Indian tribes. I mean, that's pretty powerful.
You got it. I mean, yeah, so if Congress doesn't authorize states to do certain things against the tribes, the states have no authority. My research shows that tribal sovereignty is stronger than state sovereignty.
Well, okay. Well, you've been to Nevada, right?
Yeah.
Las Vegas, maybe. In Las Vegas, they have slot machines. You notice that?
Right.
Now, does California say anything about the slot machines in Nevada? Do they have any authority to do that?
Absolutely not.
So you're saying, but in California, for these tribes to get a slot machine or a casino, they have to get approval from California. Now, where does that come from?
Well, what happened, I was involved back in the 1986, 87, whatever, and so you had non-Indians, and they were putting together prospectus, raise funds from investors to build these basically bingo warehouses. And so they had bingo, and California had laws on that. And there was litigation, the Seminole tribe versus the state of Florida. It was one of the big cases concerning that. But anyway, so Congress, and I think it was 1988, did the Indian Gaming Regulation Act. And so that encouraged states to negotiate with Indian tribes and come up with terms in which they could have, poker, slot machines, and so on and so forth. Certain tribes did it. There's a tribe in Fresno County put in all these slot machines, Sheriff McGarian, back in the late 1980s went in and shut them down and seized the slot machines. So the tribe immediately went to federal court and got it all reversed. The sheriff had no authority to do that. And they didn't have any compact with the state of California. Then there was another tribe that put in slot machines and poker, and they got raided. This was down in Southern California, Riverside County, I think. And what happened, they couldn't have the slots, but they could have the poker. Yeah, the reasoning on that, this went to the United States Supreme Court, reasoning on that was because California allowed for poker, and the only difference was the tribe didn't apply to the state of California to get a license like all the other legal poker places did. So that's,
I guess,
strong...
that kind of goes to my question, because Nevada and Las Vegas doesn't ask for a license from California. This Commerce Clause makes the tribe separate from California, looks like to me.
Well, yeah, they're treated as a foreign nation, except they're called a domestic government, because the Congress is like their trustee. Yeah, the tribe's land is held in trust by the Bureau of Interior, the Bureau of Land Management, so that they can't squander it or have some fraud perpetrated and lose their land. So there's a lot of protections from the United States government for Indian tribes.
Okay.
Yeah. When we took the break, my son brought in his laptop, and the Indians didn't do this, but they had an Indian taco contest in Fresno at the Indian ballpark. And so they had all the contestants eating these Indian tacos to see who'd win. But one of the contestants died while he was trying to eat the most tacos. And that's all the information they had at this time. So I'd stay out of those food eating contests.
I guess. When was that? I haven't heard that. I mean, that's pretty close.
I guess it was yesterday or maybe even today.
Oh, well, yeah, that very recent.
Yeah, it's in the Fresno Bee online.
Well, that, I don't, boy. Maybe he was just in poor health. I mean, they have eating contests and stuff at the county fairs and all over the place.
Yeah, I don't think we can blame the Indians. So, anyway, that was pretty strange. But you were talking about our local Indian casino. And so when they signed their compact to increase their slot machines and their card tables and stuff like that, to negotiate how much of the net winnings they're going to pay in the state of California, they agreed, to collect sales tax, and then they got a liquor license, so they had the ABC and stuff like that. So if you volunteer for this stuff, then you're bound to it.
Well, I don't know what all they're giving up. I was having a buffet at one of the places, and I was standing outside, and CHP followed a car in, and they put their lights on. And I could tell the tribal people were not real happy with the CHP coming in there. So I don't know. Maybe he was doing something off the reservation, and then he drove to his reservation. And do you have any clue about how that works in those compacts? Or?
Well, yeah, like, it's not a safety.
It's almost like you would think that's like driving to Mexico. The cops should stop at the border, you know.
Yeah, it's not a safe haven. So if there's a traffic infraction on the highway, which is right there at the at the edge of the reservation, and the cop sees it happen, then he's going to follow him to issue the ticket because it didn't happen on the reservation. And then some reservations have tribal police, some don't. Some have tribal courts, some don't. It's really involved, and they're all different. And so the one you were talking about, where the sheriff went in and arrested the people, apparently there's an Indian, a tribal member, who had been in trouble before, and he came in with some guys, and they had AR-15s, and they were going to seize the tribal financial records. They went into the office. And so somebody set off the fire alarm. I was there, and so the pit bosses put the had the dealers put the glass over the house chips, pushed all the bets back, and shut the thing down. People were standing in line trying to cash their tickets in. I would take my chips over the cashier, and there were no cashiers. The security guard, I asked him, and he goes, "Oh, they all went home." I go, "It's like 9:30. I go, "They're always here, 24 hours a day." And he goes, "Well, they're not here now." So I pocketed my chips and left. But there were three or four different tribal councils all at the same time. And they were all fighting each other, claiming that they were the one that was actually in power. And they hadn't done a reporting to the National Gaming whatever for 2 years. And so they were in default. They got notices. I don't know what the penalty would have been, if it would have been a shutdown. But that's why they went in with guns, trying to get the records so they could do the audit themselves and then turn it over to National Indian Gaming. And the sheriff when guns are involved, the sheriff was there, arrested all of them. I think the one guy did, 6 months in jail, Madera County Jail, and they didn't know if they had jurisdiction. So basically, the judge and the DA cut them loose.
Okay. Well, it's just kind of, I don't know how exactly that works, but you're saying they give up things when they get involved in these compacts, and they can't open a casino without a compact, apparently, is what you're telling me. But now if we have a tribe that doesn't have any of that stuff and hasn't given up anything, would that be different for the CHP in this case or the sheriff?
Well, I think they could still follow them onto the tribe if something was done off the tribal land. Because an individual Indian is just like you or me once they leave the tribal land. It's the tribe that's the government. Yeah, so there's a Kiowa tribe of Oklahoma, and they got sued for breach of contract. They were supposed to pay $265,000 to some company for doing something. And they signed the contract off the tribal land. The performance was supposed to be off the tribal land. The United States Supreme Court said they can be involved in commerce on or off the land, and it was a tribal government, and so you can't sue them. So the suit had to be dismissed, and I guess the people ate the breach of contract amount of $265,000.
Hmm.
Then that case was cited again. There was an Indian tribe, I think, in Michigan, Minnesota. And that went to the United States Supreme Court. And what they did, they had a gaming compact with whatever state that was over by the Great Lakes. And they bought land, and it's called the Village of Vanderbilt. And they opened up a casino there, which is violation of the city ordinance, violation of the state compact, and everything else. And it was never turned into trust land. So just the tribe owned it. And so the state sued the tribe, and it went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and they go, "No, you can't sue the tribe. Tribe can't be sued." This goes back to the king can do no wrong.
Okay, well, there's the music. You got to hold that thought. Got a hard break again coming up. You're listening to the Truth Attack Hour on Liberty Works Radio Network. We're talking with Bill McPike. He's an attorney and a strong constitutional supporter. We're talking about the reservations versus the state. And so we'll stay tuned for more after this break.
Liberty Works Radio Network, enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic, helping you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation. Please do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details. Liberty Works Radio, truth in broadcasting.
This is Randall Yearout on Leaders. Our government leaders swear an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States before they're allowed to exercise the powers of their offices. This oath automatically requires those office holders to act as a check on usurped or abused power among those within any branch of the government. Why is it, then, that when the Congress assumes for itself powers reserved by the Constitution to the states or the people, the President doesn't object with a defense of the Constitution and refuse to execute unlawful legislation? Or when the President creates Soviet-style czars to violate the public rights, why doesn't the Congress speak up? Or when the court begins striking down the laws of the Union states in violation of the public rights and in favor of international norms, why don't the other two branches bring misdemeanor charges against those offending judges? It appears that our leaders in government think that a non-intervention policy on another branch's behavior is more virtuous than executing the oath they took to support and defend the Constitution. James Madison said in Federalist Paper 51 that if men were angels, no government would be necessary, and that if angels were our governors, no Constitution would be necessary. Our Constitution is necessary, however, and our public officials are proving to us the very reason this is so. The Constitution outlines the restricted powers we, the people, gave to our governors. For our leaders to disobey them is to break the supreme law of the land, which is to be dealt with by impeachment and removal from office. I think the only way to effectively ensure the reinstatement of our American form of law and government is to replace nearly every last congressman with one who will honor his oath.
This constitutional message has been brought to you by the members of the Constitution Party. Visit us at www.constitutionparty.com.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Persistence. Pass it on. Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for Vice President Abraham Lincoln. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. Persistence. Pass it on.
America. Born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
People are surprised to learn that natural family planning couples have a lower divorce rate than couples who use other methods of family planning. NFP couples report better communication that improves marital intimacy and respect. For information on how you and your spouse can learn natural family planning in English or Spanish, see the Couple to Couple League's website at ccli.org or call 800-745-8252.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Dad, where did the clouds come from?
Well, buddy, that's a good question.
Is this worm a boy or a girl? Why are carrots orange?
Actually,
Dad, why don't you have any hair on your head?
How do birds fly?
Why is dirt brown?
Why can't I fly?
Are we there yet?
You may not have all the answers, but if they're comfortable coming to you now when the questions are small, they'll come to you with the bigger questions later.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Hempling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. The Truth Attack Hour is aired every day from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Liberty Works Radio Network. If you want to write this number down, it is a call-in number. It's 410-848-9191. That's 410-848-9191. You're welcome to call in with comments or questions from my guests. We're back with my guest, Bill McPike. He's an attorney. Did a lot of work supporting cannabis, and now done quite a bit of research on Indian reservation sovereignty. And welcome back, Bill. Now, listen, I want to go over this just the Commerce Clause one more time before we start this session or this last segment. This is our last segment. But in the Constitution, United, this is the supreme law of the land. All the states have to follow this. They agreed to do that. And it says to regulate commerce with foreign nations. That's the federal government Constitution. Foreign nations, comma, and among the several states, comma, and with the Indian tribes. I mean, like I say, that's pretty powerful. The Indian tribes, are like a foreign nation, as you say. And it seems like they're being treated pretty poorly. I've heard of some tribes even issuing driver's licenses for their tribal members, and the state saying, well, they're no good outside of the tribe or outside of the reservation. And I question that, because if a Mexican citizen comes up with a Mexican driver's license, I guess they work. You don't have to go get a California driver's license, that I've heard. Any comments on that, or did that not cover you in your research?
No, I think you're 100% correct, because it's a government-issued permission, whatever. Government-issued ID, government-issued permit. If they issue a driver's license, I think they should be recognized. My client was coming back from Mexico, and he gave him his tribal membership card, about the size of a credit card, didn't have his picture on it or anything. And so they accepted that to let him in across the border. I mean, it's a government-issued ID.
I was telling
you about the Indian tribe that put in the poker tables, and it went all the way to the United States Supreme Court. And because California allowed poker playing, it's now illegal. And the only difference was the tribe said, we're not going to get the state license for permission. We're just going to do it because it's legal in the state. And cannabis is now legal in the state of California. And so I don't see any difference between that and the Indian tribes being involved in cannabis, where the state wants them to apply for a license and give up sovereign immunity. Now, if they do that, the tribes, tribal land, the buildings, the housing, everything under those state cannabis licenses is subject to 24/7 search and seizure. Plus, they'd have to put in security cameras. They'd have to do this. They'd have to do that.
Once they get the license, you say?
Once they get the license. And so,
well, I got a pretty big family. Our family used they played poker, only not for a lot of money or anything. So, that never got raided. Not that we're on any reservation either.
So anyway, the most famous case that is cited in every commerce decision is Wickard versus Filburn. And Wickard was the Secretary of the Agriculture, USDA, and Wickard was a farmer. And so Wickard volunteered. He signed a contract for subsidies for his wheat that he grew, because prices were in a shambles. You know, with the United States Supreme Court, and they rendered their decision in 1942 because Wickard fed some of the wheat that he grew to his hogs and cattle and horses, and his wife baked bread with it. And so he violated his voluntary agreement with the USDA. And so you got to be careful when you volunteer for some kind of a government benefit. It's usually a hook in the bait there somewhere.
Always strings attached, as they say.
Another case that I really like is Rock Island Armory versus the United States. And so anyway, Rock Island Armory, they wanted to convert 12 semi-automatic rifles into fully automatic machine guns. So they filled out the application, put their check in there, sent it to the U.S. Department of Treasury. Yeah, the Treasury sent it back, and they said, we're not accepting applications at this time. You know, even though that Congress had passed that law, if you do this and do that, you know, the Treasury will evaluate it. So they went ahead and manufactured the 12 semi-automatics and the fully automatics, and they're all arrested. It's back in Illinois. And so they filed a motion to dismiss, because when Congress does something like that, it has to be available to people. You know, the process can't just be summarily rejected. So I love that decision, too. Anyway.
No, that's good.
Yeah, so I don't know if they got to keep the machine guns or not, but anyway, they're a criminal thing. And it goes through quite a bit. It talks about Timothy Leary overthrew the 1937 Marijuana Tax Act as being unconstitutional. And that was back in 1969, United States Supreme Court, because you had to have cannabis to make your application for a tax license. And so you're incriminating yourself. So violated the Fifth Amendment. That's when President Nixon and Congress got together and came up with the next scheme, the Controlled Substances Act, but the DEA is the law enforcement of that act.
Okay.
Anyway,
well, you got to be able to stand up for your rights. I mean, that's a big problem for people. Sometimes they don't like to go to court or don't want to go to court. Court can be expensive, and you know. But now the tribes are doing well financially. The ones that have casinos, but they've already given up rights to get that casino, apparently. And so if a tribe wants to set up a casino and doesn't get a compact with California, what does California react, I assume, to that?
Right. In that case, they can sue because of the Congressional Act. There's all kinds of conditions on it. The IGRA Act of 1988, and it's been amended a couple of times. So some tribes are grandfathered in, but the new ones, you're going to have to negotiate a compact with the state of California or whatever state they're involved in. But the state of State of California cannot sue an Indian tribe. That's everybody knows that. That's prohibited. But Indian tribes can sue the state of California. That's why I believe the Indian tribe, you know, the nation status is stronger than the state status, because like you said, the states had to give up certain things to join the union.
Yeah. Well, I ran into people that claim to be a tribe that's not been recognized, and they've been trying to get recognized. I don't know how that worked out for them, but apparently there are tribes still not even recognized by the U.S. government. So.
That's true. And there's applications pending, and you can find that stuff online, you know, what the requirements are, what they have to go through, and things like that. So I don't know if you wanted to move on to
to my situation with Madera County or talking
about... Well, we only have 6 minutes left. Yeah, if there's something you want to cover, let's get on it.
Okay, back in September 2015, I had a knock on the door. So I opened the door, and here's this deputy sheriff who's got a white unmarked Crown Victoria. And what he did, he fumbled with the chains and the locks and everything. And the lock wasn't locked. So eventually he figured out how to unchain the gate, opened the gate, drove onto the property, and said he wanted to do a marijuana garden compliance check. And I said, I'm not going to allow you to do that. So anyway, apparently he saw one bud or something over the fence, took a picture of it, and then he turned that over to another guy, another deputy sheriff. That guy authored a search warrant based on the deputy sheriff that had been out here. So there's a knock on the door Friday, and the one guy had been here on Monday. So he's got his arm stretched out, and he's got the search warrant stuck in my face. So I grab it, come outside, start to read it, and I look, and there's Madera County Deputy Sheriff cars and trucks everywhere, about a dozen deputy sheriffs walking all around. And then they opened the door I'd come out of, and then they went through the building and took pictures and everything. So the search warrant said, you know, look for payo sheets. Okay. So I'm an attorney. I have client records. Have a home office. So the judge had allowed them to go through papers. They were supposed to look for and confiscate High Time magazines, which gave me a laugh. So anyway, after about an hour, they took off. I was never handcuffed, never arrested. And, before the guy left, he asked me to receive for 99 cannabis plants. I go, 99 plants? I go, there might have been 30. And he goes, well, we counted root balls, and each stock had 3 root balls. I go, what? That's impossible. You know, a plant only has 1 root ball. So he just kind of laughed and took off. Oh, and he had 6 dried plants with lots of bud on them. Had 2 deputies put that in the trunk of his personal unmarked Crown Victoria. The rest of the garden went into a trailer. So that was all green. Anyway, so I get a certified letter and I signed for it. It's a citation for $25,000 for violating the zoning ordinance. So I filed an appeal, and it was with the fire chief of the city of Chowchilla. And, of course, you know, he goes, oh, yeah, you know, the citation is upheld. So I did an investigation, and there was no personnel file on him with the county of Madera. There's no oath of office. There's no contract for him to even be a hearing officer on those administrative citations. And he was a code enforcement officer for the city of Chowchilla as part of his fire chief duties. So anyway, I kept searching and searching and searching, writing letters, talking to people. So finally I put together a package and faxed it into the Madera County Grand Jury. 9 months later, They said that the code enforcement had violated the Madera Code by hiring him. What they needed to do was go to an agency like American Arbitration Association and have them assign a hearing officer. They just couldn't go tap a guy on the shoulder and say, oh, you want to be our hearing officer? So, anyway.
I was going to sue
them. You know, once the grand jury thing came out, you know, so I talked to.
I'm sorry, Bill. We got the music.
Okay.
Well, that's a good story. I want to hear the end of it. Maybe we'll do it another time if you'd be so kind as to come on once again. But thanks, Bill, for joining us. It was a great program. Thank all of you for listening. The Truth Attack Hour will be hosting this program every Wednesday. Also, check out truth-attack.com and freeenterprisesociety.com for abolishing that income tax.
Okay, Steve, thank you.
Join the Cavalcade to Freedom. The Cavalcade back to constitutional government. Climb on board and do your part to proclaiming liberty throughout the land. Join and support Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. To view the strategic plan, to spread the word, and to get information on joining, go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com or call the fellowship office at 410-857-5444. That's 410-857-5444. To join the Cavalcade to Freedom. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can. Who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the trees?
Who can tax the trees?
Let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good. Constitution. And who can give a bailout?
Who can give a bailout?
Tell us to behave.
Tell us to behave.
And make the founding fathers roll over in the grave. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good. Their economics are fictitious. Soon we'll have to eat our dishes.
Delicious.
Oh, who can be a failure?
Who can be a failure?
In so many ways.
In so many ways.
And instead of getting fired, hey, we'll give ourselves a raise. The government.
Born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Norman Rockwell didn't create the best in us. He just inspired the best. You've seen the paintings. the Thanksgiving turkey being served at Grandma's. The weathered farmer sending his baby-faced son off to college.
Now be sure and write.
The wise police officer sitting at the soda bar, talking a young boy out of running away from home.
Where are you going, son?
Norman Rockwell didn't create the best in us. He just inspired the best. Inspiration. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.